Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners, Dennis Cooper here. If you're a fan of Culpable, then you know we normally focus on one case for an entire season, like the season one case of Christian Andriacchio and the season two case of Brittany Stikes. As I continue working on season three, I'll be using this platform to help more families in their fight for justice. Last fall, I brought you six cases over 6 weeks. Now, I'm bringing you five more. From Tenderfoot TV, another installment of Culpable Case Review is available now. Check out this clip.
So she jumped over her friend into the driver's seat, hit the gas. Her foot did not let off the gas. She hit a mailbox. I think she rolled into a tree, and she was already dead.
From Tenderfoot TV, Culpable Case Review is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus for early access and ad-free listening. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
Rattled and Shook is released weekly, every Thursday, and brought to you absolutely free. But if you want to listen ad-free, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get exclusive bonus episodes. For more information, check out the show notes. Now, enjoy the episode.
And now, presenting Rattled and Shook.
Hi, I'm April.
And I'm Meredith. And this is Rattled and Shook,
a podcast where we tune into scary stories and discuss our deepest, darkest fears.
But in a fun way.
So this week we have some very compelling stories that feature peculiar creatures. So let's get weird and tune into the first story.
I don't tell people this story. Truthfully, I've only ever told my ex-husband. It happened when I was young and it stayed with me, vivid and clear. I mean, I was 5 years old and I'm almost 27 now. I was sleeping in my parents' room one night when I woke up to the sound of whispers. It wasn't my parents. It was male, but a higher pitch than most men, and menacing. There were a few voices, but I wasn't sure how many, and they were talking about my parents. In the dark, I strained my ears to try to find the source. After a few minutes, I was able to trace the sound to under the bed. Very slowly, I turned my head and saw yellow eyes, in pairs, glowing under the bed. I shut my eyes in a panic, and I heard one of them say that I was awake, and then laugh about it. It called out to me quietly, taunting me, saying that it knew I was awake. I didn't want them to, but my eyes opened again, and I could make out three shapes, three pairs of eyes, very inhuman, almost like small pigs. I was frozen in fear. I couldn't even call out to my parents. And then they were gone. I can't explain it. It seemed demonic. I stayed awake until the sun came streaming through the windows, too scared to sleep. I have no idea how long it took. What made this even more traumatizing was what I heard them say. They talked about my parents, how they were having problems, and I remember them saying that my dad knew about the bad things my mom was doing. He was in pain, and they were celebrating it. A few weeks after that night, my mom moved out. A few years later, I'd learned that she'd left my dad for somebody else and was having an affair at the time. And the pigs were right. My dad was suffering.
Wow, what an unusual and creepy but sad story.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sad.
Very sad. And if we're looking at this as like a metaphor, very interesting way to manifest like pain and trauma and grief
mm-hmm.
in something so specific, you know,
mm-hmm.
like a yellow-eyed demonic pig type of thing. That's
like,
you know,
a little like, conference of pigs.
Yeah.
Like a little conference of like petty, like sadistic pigs.
Demonic Statler and Waldorf just commenting on the pain going on in your family.
Yeah.
The horrible.
It's like they're watching a reality show.
Yeah.
It's like me on my couch mid Love is Blind. But this was sent in by a listener, Heidi. And like, this is a real story.
Hi, Heidi. Wow.
Yeah. It's really weird to me. Okay. So I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
One, do you think it was the subconscious at work there? You know, the child in the story
mm-hmm.
was hearing some pieces of conversations in the middle of the night and then seeing something else and in a dream state kind of half connecting those, or no one was speaking and it was just kind of like fears and bits and pieces from hearing things during the day that were coming up at night? Or do you think there were some little pigs down there? What do you think?
I mean, my horror brain wants it to be little pigs, you know, but I think because of my past experiences with sleep and knowing the many things that can go on in your brain, especially when you're in a heightened state of stress or going through a lot, I would tend toward
a
hallucination, yes, a manifestation.
Yeah.
But, you know, as someone who loves horror and unexplained things and supernatural things, I don't want to say I enjoy this because, you know, there's like a lot of like pain and trauma going on at the same time, but I do appreciate the details.
The fact that it's not the parents' voices, that's what mm-hmm. was weird to me.
Yeah. It's such a different vision of like a supernatural or unexplained event.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to entertain that part of it. I find it very interesting.
Yeah.
But how about you? What do you think?
No, I mean, I do think the same thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever woken up to thinking that someone said your name or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. It did happen to me actually for like the first time, I think, kind of recently. I almost couldn't even be sure it happened. Mm. I woke up with the sensation that I'd woken up to someone talking, but like I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just was in my room for a second being like, did I hear a neighbor? And I thought it was my name.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I'm a little worried I'm rubbing off on you.
You are rubbing off on me. And it did happen kind of somewhat recently.
That's another thing with hypnagogic hallucinations. You can hear what sounds like a conversation, like a full-blown conversation happening. One time it sounded like there was a group of men just like talking in my room.
God, that's so weird.
Yeah. I couldn't pick out words though.
Yeah. Unlike the story where, you know, the child is hearing like information. I think that's what's so interesting to me about this story is like, if we're going, you know, the route that we both think, you know, okay,
right.
That makes sense psychologically speaking. It's like your intuition literally speaking to you.
Yeah. It's not gibberish. It's not like incomprehensible speech. She's hearing facts.
Yeah.
Like that's another level.
The only other thought I had about this story, which is more of a light one, because obviously there's like heaviness to the story for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard it, I couldn't help but imagine the voice from the pig from Toy Story. Who is played by, I'm pretty sure, it's the guy from Cheers.
I despise that chicken.
John Ratzenberger?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got such a distinctive voice.
He should be part of our cinematic universe.
Now, a word from our sponsors.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's tune in to another story.
This story begins back in the mid-80s. My parents were still married, and we lived in a trailer house near Lake Powell, where my father worked in maintenance and my mother worked on the docks on the lake. My parents had anything but a good marriage, and divorced during the initial timeline of the story. I quickly became the caregiver for my brother, who was 2 years younger. As my parents were on the verge of divorce, the home was just, continually in turmoil. All the time. Parties in the evening led to angry, hungover fighting during the day. But during the night was when I was first visited by the beast. The nightmare would begin with me just waking up, or so I thought, and walking out into the living area of our trailer house. Then I would see what I would describe as a large beast. On two legs, similar to a werewolf you would see in a movie. This beast would circle the trailer like it was stalking the outside of the house. I would stand frozen, terrified, seeing it pass by the windows, hoping it wouldn't see me, and hoping it wouldn't figure out how to get in the door. Every night was a similar nightmare. I would wake, walk into the living room, and the beast would be circling. As my parents' drinking and partying increased, the beast just became more active around the house, almost like it was being driven by the turmoil. The snout, the gnarly teeth, and blazing red eyes were the most prominent features of this beast. Eventually, it would occasionally look inside. Just absolutely freezing me in place with fear. After each of these episodes, I would wake up just standing in the living room, shaking and staring at the window where I'd seen the beast, now gone. At the end of my parents' marriage in the late 80s, the beast became more and more aggressive, jiggling the door handles and just rattling the windows. But it got worse. When my parents finally told my brother and me that they were divorcing, the beast decided to enter the house. So this night started differently than the others. When I awoke and began my walk to the living room, I noticed that the back door to the trailer was just wide open. I proceeded to the living room, looked into the kitchen, and saw the beast standing in the kitchen. My initial reaction was one of pure terror, and I just froze in place. The beast stared into me, as if it was searching for a way into my soul. I knew I had to do something besides just stand there. I mean, this thing had been terrorizing me for years, and I began to worry that it was real and that it would go after my little brother. I decided to talk to it, informing the beast that I wasn't afraid of it, yelling at the top of my lungs just to get out of my house. You don't scare me. The beast had an initial reaction of just anger, and its red eyes flared as if an inferno was just burning inside. As I doubled down and expressed my lack of fear towards the beast, I began to walk towards it. And with every step, the beast began to shrink, almost as if the food that had once fueled it had been removed from its diet. I felt more and more control over the situation as I got closer, until finally, I was standing within reach of the beast. It stretched out its huge, clawed hand, and right before touching me, it shrunk down into a chair, sitting in the middle of the kitchen floor. What scared me most was that when I woke from this dream, I was standing in the kitchen, staring at this chair in the middle of the floor. The chair had no business being in the middle of the kitchen floor. My father was always adamant that nothing was to be in his way when he woke early in the morning to depart for work. Once my parents divorced, my father moved my brother and I back to Nebraska, where we would end up working on the family farm. Both sides of our family were around there. Not long after returning to Nebraska, my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, began working to renovate the farmhouse that my grandfather grew up in. This home was like, you know, any farmhouse in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska, built to stand up to the winds that whip across the prairie. My grandparents lived in town, but my grandma had always wanted to remodel the farmhouse so she could move out to the countryside. I mean, she became obsessed with working on the home. She even began skipping church, which was a big deal as my family was the standard conservative Christian family from the Great Plains. I never felt comfortable with the farmhouse. Whenever I was alone inside, it felt like a weight was pressing me down. For some reason, I would glance at the windows, expecting to see the beast from my previous years. There were two windows that overlooked the fields, and when walking through the farmyard, I would just swear something was standing at the window, just watching me. One day, my grandfather was doing his morning chores. He looked over at the home and thought he saw something. He finished his chores anyway before resuming his work on the house. But at some point that morning, something inside of the home caught fire. My grandfather tried to fight the fire, but it was too much. He called 911, but it took a while for the firefighters to arrive, as the farmhouse was quite a ways out in the country. And, I mean, the exterior of the home was untouched, but the inside was just absolutely destroyed. There was enough damage that my grandparents had to make the very difficult decision to just finally tear the home down once and for all. During the demolition, at literally every turn, I know this sounds crazy, but the home acted as if it was trying to hurt us. Random walls would just fall. Flooring that was sturdy one day would give way the next. And the last thing to be torn down was the chimney. It fell, seemingly on its own, as we were all having lunch under the tree next to the house. Thank goodness we were paying attention as it fell right by where we were sitting. What was even more interesting, though, was that the ominous feeling around the home was gone. My grandmother began going back to church, and the farm found a level of calm that hadn't been experienced in quite a while. Now, fast forward one more time to the early 2000s. I was a young officer in the Marine Corps. My aunt had just retired from the Navy, and my mother had actually moved back to the area. We were all sitting around the table at my grandparents' home having some drinks and enjoying the rare occasion, you know, that we were all together. And after a few drinks, someone brought up the farmhouse and how it burnt down. And I mentioned that I never liked the house, and that when I was younger, I was pretty sure it was haunted or stalked by a beast. I began to describe my experiences from my younger years, the dreams I'd had and what the beast, you know, looked like. And to my surprise, when I looked at my mother and aunt, they were nearly in tears. Yeah. Apparently they had had similar experiences with the beast. For a few moments, you could hear a pin drop. And finally, my grandfather broke the silence with a witty comment, which, you know, cut the tension, and we changed the subject. But I could tell, just hearing it in his voice, that he had witnessed something as well. As the night wound down, my grandma told me about how evil my grandfather's father was, my great-grandfather. She described his terrible treatment of his sons, my grandfather and his brother. She said the man had spent his last days in that very farmhouse. I wonder, now, if the beast had something to do with him.
Wow, the similarities between this and the Whispering Pig story with the childhood trauma around parents. It hits. It's like I can feel the future therapy bills in these stories.
Yeah. Both of these stories, it's very interesting how the anguish, the suffering kind of takes the form of this physical monster or like a demonic type of creature. It feels more corporeal than some of the other stories we've heard.
Right. This one was sent in, which I know we get asked a lot. Like, a lot of our stories at this point are sent in by listeners and by real people. And this is one of those. It was sent in by Eric. And I think it's one of those things when I read these and when I hear these, the details are so specific that I get it instantly. Like, it reminds me, I know we've talked about this before, but like recurring nightmares that I had as a kid, the recurring dream I had of a boulder crushing
the single blade of grass.
Yeah. And I would get it when I was sick. It's like this boy is getting like this vividly real nightmare of a beast. And you're like, is it real? Is it not real? But it doesn't really matter because it's real to the kid.
Yeah. The effect is the same. Honestly, again, another story that reminds me of like the Babadook.
Babadook.
Yep.
I knew you were going to say the Babadook. And also when I saw this story come through, I was like, oh, this is such an April story.
Oh, yeah. This and even Whispering Pigs, both of these stories I love for the reason that you just said, for the specific, more unique details. A lot of people, I think, fear a lot of similar things, you know, a hat man, a shadow person in the corner of the room. But things like this, to me, I'm just like, this is so odd.
Yeah, I've never personally feared a werewolf.
Yeah. Or a whispering pig with yellow eyes, you know, that's so off and unexpected that it almost crosses the line into absurdity. I kind of love when horror does that. Like, you could almost laugh at it. And I think it makes it more disturbing in a way because it's kind of riding that line.
Yeah, it's more disturbing.
It almost makes it scarier.
Yeah.
And in that way, it made me think of another movie, Hereditary, which you still have to watch.
I know. I do still have to watch that.
Yeah, you slip it into conversation. And I just have seen stills from it that I think have already haunted me that I'm like, oh.
It'll screw you up for a bit.
Yeah, I know. Everyone says that.
I walked out of that movie into the daylight and I was like, everything is wrong.
Yeah. But I'm with you with like the things like the pigs with the yellow eyes and being afraid of something that feels like it's not your average horror imagery.
Right.
Pigs and horror is something that comes up very occasionally.
It does, actually.
Yeah.
You're right. Wait, I'm thinking of, was it Hannibal? I feel like I've seen themes of people being fed to large pigs.
Yes. And even in, if you've seen Hayao Miyazaki's Spirited Away, in that movie, like the parents become pigs in the very beginning.
Yes.
There's something about that and like using pigs in like disturbing imagery that, you know, it does kind of strike a chord with me. But anyway, back to the beast. This was like quite a saga too, where I think at the end, bringing in like
generational trauma
and
trauma.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. Again, hereditary. It almost feels like a curse on the family that they can't escape, you know?
The idea that like the transgressions or like the cruelty of someone in your family passes down like in your bloodline in a way.
Right.
And everyone who like experiences that cruelty sees this same monster. It's unbelievably poetic.
Yes. It resonates. Because the thing is, there's a basis in reality for things like this because trauma actually biologically gets passed down through generations of people.
I know it.
It's in our DNA.
Sometimes I'm like, why do I feel that way?
Yeah.
In my bloodstream.
There's just so many layers to it. For me, it evokes so much dread, stories like this, because you feel like you're doomed to repeat the same cycles over and over again. And it's like, oh, it's so dark. But Eric, you don't have to. Go to therapy. I'm sure you'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, clearly he's talking about it, which I think means something.
That's the first step.
But I wonder if he was afraid, you know, wherever you are. I wonder if you were afraid that you would pass it down, because that's how I would feel, that I would pass the beast on to my kids.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I think we're all terrified of passing on the metaphorical beast to our children.
Yeah, that's right. The beast.
I thought it was a very interesting detail that the grandma became obsessed with working on the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little Winchester mystery house going on here.
Yeah. And she like wasn't going to church anymore. And I was like, oh, she's like, house is possessing her.
Because then the house almost took on this monstrous quality. Man, the way it like pervaded everything. It's very well told.
Yeah, this one would be another great one to option.
Yes. Who are we casting for this one?
Oh, gosh. Who are we casting for this one?
I am casting Kelsey Grammer as the Beast, since he played it in X-Men.
Kelsey Grammer as the Beast?
Yeah. He played the Beast in X-Men.
Which we all know you love.
I do love X-Men.
I was going to make the Beast be like CGI.
Right. No, it's Kelsey Grammer.
It's fine. We can do Kelsey Grammer. That's totally fine. And like we're talking about like Frasier, Kelsey Grammer?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, no, for sure.
The Beast in X-Men is very intellectual. It's very different.
Yeah, I think very different Beast.
No.
We're going to be casting this movie very differently.
Mm. Who's the grandma? I feel like you could cast someone you sympathize with, but also has a little bit of a creep factor going on because she's sort of possessed by the house.
How's Kathy Bates?
Ooh, yes. Kathy Bates is great.
The mom needs to have like haunted eyes, like the mom in Dune.
Ooh, Rebecca Ferguson. Except she's too like fancy.
Wispy. I think the kids, you know, I will say the trailer scene reminded me of like Stranger Things and everything that went down in, I guess it was season 4 of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Those kids are aging too rapidly.
Who's like a young child actor right now these days?
Well, we have to cast in different age groups too.
True.
Well, maybe we should just get people to submit their headshots.
Yeah. And John Ratzenberger is the grandpa.
Full circle.
And now, more words from more sponsors.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, we haven't done this in a bit, but we're back with some irrational fears. And so if you're new around here, people submit their most irrational fears to us, and you can do so too by DMing us at Rattled and Shook or submitting through the website, rattledandshook.com. We'd love to hear them. And I think April's going to kick it off.
Okay, looking forward to reading some of these. So let's start with Randy, or Randolph the Great on Instagram. Love the handle. Here we go. Hey, ladies. Love the podcast so far. You both are hilarious and relatable. Thanks. Not sure if you're still looking for irrational fears. We are. But if you are, mine are sloths. They look like small, hairy demons with those claws and beady eyes full of spite. Just watch a video of them crawling across the ground and you'll get it. I am 100% confident they are only pretending to be slow so they can take over and end us all. Creepy little fuckers. Yeah, I can get on board with this. I like the conspiracy theory aspect. I think sloths can vary. I think they can be super cute, and then at other times, just absolutely horrifying. Sometimes they look like they're wearing a Halloween mask. And yeah, those claws, those movements, those unnatural movements, it's like someone is playing them at half speed or something. So yeah, totally get that. A side note, my niece will not watch the movie Zootopia because of the scene with the sloth at the DMV, specifically the part where the sloth smiles. And you know what? I agree with her. It's terrifying. Watch that scene back. It'll give you nightmares. All right, well, let's keep our fingers crossed that the sloth apocalypse never comes. Throwing it back to Meredith.
Okay, this next one is from Coyote. Hey guys, love your show so much. Glad to hear you're back in 2024. My irrational fear is carrion flowers. Within the last 2 years, I've begun studying / working closely with numerous plant species, and one day I came across them when scrolling on a website, and from that day forward, I have never been the same. I have an irrational fear that one day one will detach from a cactus and cover my face whole. The extreme dread I feel even putting that in writing, haha. Anyways, y'all have a good one. I love how you ended that. Like, here's my biggest fear. Anyways, bye. Wow. So I looked up carrion flowers and they're really creepy. This is what it says. Carrion flowers, also known as corpse flowers or stinking flowers, are mimetic flowers that emit an odor that smells like rotting flesh. Apart from the scent, carrion flowers often display additional characteristics that contribute to the mimesis of a decaying corpse. These include their specific coloration, red, purple, brown, and they're these like huge flowers. They look like a demogorgon. This makes me think of Little Shop of Horrors, and I know that Audrey 2, the flower in Little Shop of Horrors, is kind of based off of Venus Flytrap, but this feels like the real version of that. The fact that it even smells like rotting flesh inside, ugh. Gross. Okay, so next, actually, we also have a callback to one of the other irrational fears we played in a previous episode. I don't know if you remember, but someone wrote in that they were afraid of the letter W. And a lot of people have been echoing that fear or writing in with similar fears. So, April?
Okay, this one's from Jamie H. The story about W made me remember mine. I hate and am scared of Grover. Yes, from Sesame Street. As a kid, I had a few nightmares where he wanted to kill me. He was on roller skates and would skate as fast as he could toward me and dive through my midsection with an evil, stupid smile on his damn blue head. Always gives me the creeps now. He dove through your midsection. That makes me think of The Matrix. It's at the end, the climax of the first movie. Neo dives into a Mr. Smith and like scrambles him from the inside and he implodes. I don't want to add more nightmare fuel for you. But this was a good guy doing it to a bad guy, so I think it's okay. But besides that, evil Grover on roller skates is a sublime image, honestly. I love all of our weird little brains. And I wonder how many animal mascots terrified us as children. Seems like a lot. Meredith?
Okay, and here's the last one. This one is from Anna V. The woman who shared her irrational fear of the letter W sparked a memory from my childhood. I remember having a dream, actually a nightmare, where it was somewhat of a sleep paralysis moment. I was lying awake in my bed in the dark, in the middle of the night. The Vlasic pickle stork materialized inside of my open closet and began saying, "Who, what, where, why?" while pointing in various cardinal directions. This was something that scared me for several years. I love that. That is so irrational. And it reminds me of the Phantom Tollbooth for some reason, like the who, what, where, why. But there is something like kind of trippy about that that I think would stick with me as a kid too. I hope you're not being visited by the pickle stork anymore.
With the birth rate down and the Vlasic pickle sales up, I deliver Vlasic pickles now.
Oh, my.
Rattled and Shook is a Tenderfoot TV production in partnership with Odyssey. Executive producers are Donald Albright and Payne Lindsay. Co-executive producer is Meredith Stedman. Hosted and produced by April Ruha and Meredith Stedman. Lead editor and sound designer is April Ruha. Additional production by Sean Nerney. Production management by Tracy Kaplan and Jordan Foxworthy. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set. Original art by Puppy Teeth. Follow us on social media at Rattled and Shook.